This is a replay of the Tuesday night, February 20th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together, and as usual, if it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it is on mine as well. And it's interesting. You got a lot of guys leave phone messages, and sometimes I hear them, and sometimes I don't. As I mentioned before, I've got a deranged soul who leaves literally hundreds of messages, and so whenever I see that number, I just take it and delete before hearing it. And occasionally, your message, if there is one in there, would go with it, and so it's not the best way to reach us. The best way to reach us is on the air, you know, like right now. 888-876-5593-8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. And if you do leave a message and I do hear it, well, usually it's for request or what have you, and I'll try to find it, you know, assuming that I reasonably like it. But every now and then it's a request for information. And it's really interesting when the information is such that I have, to a degree, little knowledge, you know, little to no knowledge of it. I start to look it up, and suddenly I get very interested. And that happened today. Pete in Libertyville left a message saying, I'm looking for information on Shelley Rim, and I can't find anything other than, you know, an obit. Oh, but I can. You're not looking it up as well as you should. Shelley Rim was pretty influential all the way around, and he was one of a number of African Americans in Denver. He was born actually not in Denver. I think it was like Tampa in like 1924, and he lived in Denver, though he moved as a child and grew up in Denver and stayed there. Other than being in the Army in World War II, he was a musician of note, to say the least. But there's an interesting book called African Americans of Denver. Ronald Stevens and LaWanna Larson wrote about it. And it's fascinating because it tells the story of a lot of people, not only Shelley Rim, but let me see if I can get that little synopsis of that book up here, because it may surprise you who is among the list, and actually Denver-based, and I will find that. It should have been in front of me because I knew I was going to talk about this, but no. In any event, Shelley was interesting in that, as I say, he was a drummer. He originally played in Denver in the Five Points area, and he was at a club there. But he also toured, and he was a jazz drummer for Billie Holiday, among others, and influenced a lot of people. And in the mid-40s, he was performing at the Rossonian, which was right by Five Points. There are pictures of him, too. And what was interesting to me is not only how many other musicians lauded him for his performance and his ability and his kindness and sharing with other musicians in terms of his techniques and other techniques, but he also was part of a community action group. And it was COM. There was an article called COM stands for Be Cool, Man. Well, the reality is COM stood for Community Action by Local Marshals. And it was a Black Citizens Patrol. And this is the latter 60s. And Shelley Rim had been an activist and a coordinator for Model Cities, which was a resident participation group in Denver. And he was instrumental in getting this group together and in balancing it between moderates and militants. And he said the militants who were involved were not advocates of violence, but they certainly were advocates of militancy. But together, they were a very formidable group. And it was interesting because there were some real victories with the city administration and minority communities and things about that. And his points were all well taken. Unfortunately, what happened was a lot of the more less moderate, the more groups that were militant, shall we say, left COM, because they said, you're talking to the police and we don't want that. And of course, Shelley's busy saying, well, you better want that, because that's, you know, how we're going to get together. And so a lot of Denver's angrier men left the group, and women too, but it was mostly men. And some good came about it. And so that was Shelley as far as that goes. So I'm not sure why Pete in Libertyville wanted to know, but now he does, and he should pick up a copy of African Americans of Denver, because as I say, it's a rich history, because that's one of the things you normally don't think about Denver and African Americans, certainly not about soul music, but they had a number of people, including names you would know, who were very influential, who grew up right in Denver. All right, so let's see if I can find that book here real quickly. And in fact, I think I'm going to buy a copy of it. It's only $32, but we'll go over some of the people who were in that book and featured in it, including Shelley. So one of the things, unfortunately, if you're trying to find Shelley, is tell you right now, the name is not consistently spelled. Some people spell it S-H-E-L-L-Y, and some people spell it S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, and that was true even in his obit. So when you're looking, it can be hard, but there's an awful lot of things online. I hope Pete in Libertyville heard that. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh, and Joe is in Orland Park. What's happening tonight, Joe?
Oh, I can't sleep, so I decide to listen to your program.
Oh.
You know how sometimes a melody keeps rolling around in your head?
Yes.
And there's one that's rolling around in my head, and I kept singing it all day long. Chills and Fever is What You Give to Me.
Oh,
and
Ronnie,
I don't know who did it.
Ronnie Love. I love that song. Yes.
I do, too.
yes, and that was a pseudonym. I'll play Chills and Fever for you, because you don't have to twist my arm on that. I love that record. And, he didn't get enough credit, that's for sure. And that came out on
Dodge. But, I mean, sometimes there are certain songs I kept singing it all day long.
Right. Oh, I know. And very often with me, though, it's not things like Chills and Fever. It's things that I never, ever really want to hear. And it just goes around and around. It's like, why? Just why? So.
Well, it's another thing, too, is I grew up in the 60s. And a lot of music that I listened to, well, I got into folk music like Peter, Paul, and Mary, Kingston Trio. But I also got into doo-wop, and I liked people like Nolan Strong and the Diablos.
Yeah.
A few other people like that. And then in 78, I really got into doo-wop and bought CDs of different collections. And you were talking about Art LaBeau.
Yeah.
And I happen to have some of that here.
Yeah.
And I like it. But the one song everybody hates, and Angel Baby by Rosie in the original, that's
Yep, it's
what everybody hates it.
Well, it's a fighting song. You'd be surprised. No, it still is an East L.A. anthem. People in East L.A. adore this record. It probably is the number one record of oldies fanatics on the East Side. And I'll tell you who else loved it was John Lennon loved it. But there are other people, and I'd be one of them, who just says it's nails on a chalkboard. So it's an acquired taste, but it came out on Highland, a little local label. And So
but
she.
I noticed that the drummer was offbeat.
Oh, that's not surprising. You know, if you ever hear things like Ron Holden, Love You So, the woman playing the calabas was actually his wife at the time, and she was so offbeat that I swear that's why the record was popular. You know,
I've got that on a CD collection. I like the song.
Right.
Even though that's the case.
Well, but she was trying to do it on the beat, and of course you heard the results, so you know that didn't work out too well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a good ear for stuff because... Yeah. Well, I'm totally blind, and I depend on my hearing a lot. And I hear things that other people don't listen to.
Right, right. Of course you do. So
I hear things that people don't hear, and I thought, that sounds offbeat. And the saxophone player kind of goofed up on Angel Baby.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yes. And he'd probably been playing...
And not only on that, on Lonely Blue Nights, I heard a...
Oh! Yeah. Yeah.
But I love your show. It's one of I've listened to you when you were all over the place in Denver and Philadelphia. You've been all over.
Yeah, 32 American cities, it's true. Over 50
well,
radio stations.
Show, and I'll be looking forward to hearing that.
Yes, I will play that. I will absolutely play it. And, you know, it's a cover record. And, of course, his name wasn't even Ronnie Love, but it's a cover record. The original was actually a group called the Surfmen, S-E-R-F Men. And it was, that's from 1960, a year earlier. I'll try to find that one, too, and see what you think of that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, my pleasure. So, yeah, Nemphris was the label, and, you know, which, of course, would be Surfmen backwards. So, right. Clearly, these boys put it out themselves, but I'll have to see if I can find anything about the Surfmen on Nemphris. But otherwise, Ronnie Love, you can't go wrong with Ronnie Love, so we'll go right coming out next. But at the moment, I know if you listen to the show, you love radio, so if you love radio, you probably know all about Bob Crane, and if you don't, trust me, he should be knighted. Because years ago, when all of us complained about how lousy reception was on the radios that were being made, Bob said, I can do better than this. And he did. Every radio that Bob Crane has had a hand in developing has one thing different than anything else on the market, and that's just spectacular reception, AM and FM. But in addition to that, he's come up with a number of things that are just better and just neat. And the new Skywave, the CC Skywave 2, hard to believe it has improved reception. It does, which is hard to believe. It's compact. It's only 8 ounces. It'll fit right in the palm of your hand. It's the ultimate travel radio because not only do you get tremendous AM and FM and the weather band and a weather alert and the... what am I trying to say here? I'll get to it sooner or later. Single sideband as far as that. But you'll also, which is really neat, get all the aviation band, bird's eye view monitoring conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers and ground crew, which can be a lot of fun. Now, you can go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com, and take a look at the CC Skywave SSB2. It's really, really neat. And now it has a jack for an external shortwave antenna, which makes it even better for reception and easy to use. So tremendous reception, as I say, 8 ounces, perfect travel radio. CCRadio.com, anytime, CCRadio.com. And if you can't go online for some time or some reason, whatever, they've got the world's best customer service. Just give them a call. They'll answer all your questions. You can order by phone, or they'll send you a hard copy of the catalog, and you can look at it all for yourself. And that's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. The Sea Crane Company. Look at that new CC Skywave 2. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Chills and fever, oh, chills. love me so, and you'll never, ever, ever let me go. I get a war, chills and fever, chills and fever, chills and fever, chills and fever is what you give to me.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. Yeah, Ronnie Love, Chills and Fever on Dot, 1961. And The Surfman came later, it turns out, but it was released before this, actually by him as Johnny Love. And it was actually the same recording, but that was 1960 as Johnny Love. And then a year later, he came out on Dot with that. And it was Ron Dunbar was who he was. And he was probably more known as a songwriter and a producer. He worked with Holland Dozier Holland and with George Clinton. And he was a co-writer, Give Me Just a Little More Time. Yeah, with, of course, that'd be... can I think of his name, who was in Chicago for a while, but Chess, Leonard Keston Jr., Band of Gold, and he co-wrote Patches. So Chills and Fever, like I say, 1960, Johnny Love and his orchestra on Startime. And when Dot picked it up for distribution a year later, it became Ronnie Love, which, of course, you know, Ron Dunbar sounds good to me. Tom Jones later covered it in addition to the Surfmen. You don't want to hear the Surfmen. So he was originally from Detroit and early Motown. And in fact, if you remember 1961, Greetings, This is Uncle Sam, the Balladeers. Yeah, he was a co-writer of that. And he did a lot of uncredited things, too. And by the latter 60s, around 68, like a lot of people involved with Motown, he wasn't getting his just due financially. So when Holland Dozier Holland, of course, left and came up with Invictus and Hot Wax, he became A&R director and was finally getting credited for the songs that he was writing, which was nice. So that's Ronnie Love. And I don't think he's with us anymore, but I don't know. And as I mentioned with George Clinton, he was doing stuff in the latter 70s and Parliament Funkadelic and all that kind of stuff. So good for Ronnie Love. But yeah, Chills and Fever, that's the one that did it for me. And obviously for Joe as well. So good deal. All right, 888-876-5593. Debbie is in Elmhurst. Debbie, what's going on tonight?
Hi, Raleigh. I'm hoping you can help me. I think you might be the perfect person to ask.
Uh-oh.
I have had a Bose radio, a wave radio, for about 20 years.
Oh, yeah, the Bose wave. Yes, remember it well.
The sound on that was phenomenal, and it was a tabletop radio. It didn't have all these extra speakers or anything. Well, it conked out on me,
mm-hmm.
and I cannot find another one. I called the company. They do not make that anymore. My son got me a JBL or something. Did mm-hmm. not like the sound of that. Returned that.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked online, and it said something comparable, a tabletop, might be a Sangene. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thought is if you really want a Bose Wave, you can find them used on eBay. And the nice
yeah.
thing is if you pay through PayPal and there's anything about it you don't like, you'll get your money back. And they have to pay for the return shipping. So I wouldn't hesitate doing this. And there's a ton of them on eBay. So I would take a look at them. And if you're wondering when you know, the prices are a little different, but also find out, like, you got one $145 for free shipping, another one $149 for $29.95. Well, it's a little pricey. So look around and get the price you want. And then when you look at the seller, see how many things he's sold and see what his ratings are. You know, because if it's somebody who's sold 10,000 items and he's got a 98% success rate on this, you can be pretty safe with that. So, and even if you weren't, again, if you're paying through PayPal, you'll get your money back if there's a problem. So that's what I would do. If that's the radio you want, then that's the radio you should have, because nothing will sound exactly like it.
Okay.
You know, that's,
I mean, have you heard the sound from there?
Yeah, yeah. And I would not say it's necessarily a true sound, which is one of the reasons you like it. You and I'm the same way. I've mentioned this before. There was a portable Voice of Music record player. It was portable. It was luggable, actually. It somehow had a handle, which it shouldn't have. But anyway, this thing came out in like 1961, 62. I thought this had the best sound ever. And again, it wasn't true, but it was the sound I wanted. So the bottom line is, if I was comparing something to that, nothing was ever going to be exactly like that. Now, ultimately, I had to part ways with it because I ran out of being able to replace the tubes. But you know, so if that's the sound you want, if that's the sound you're lusting for, then get a Bose, get a Wave
Radio.
Well,
I know you're always talking about Sea Crane, and I've never heard one of those.
Well,
I didn't know if they...
They sound great, but again, if you're looking to match a sound that you remember, and again, Bose is not necessarily what I'd call a true reproduction. I wouldn't want a true reproduction necessarily, but it'll have its own sound, unique sound, and the Sea Crane Radio won't sound like it.
Gotcha.
You know,
I really enjoy your show.
Yeah.
And
so get a used one, and you can find them pretty inexpensively, too, if you shop around, and let me know how it works out.
I will do that.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so, yeah, you know, occasionally you can even find them new in the box. That gets really kind of pricey, but somebody who had just kept it. And you can find them refurbished, but, you know, I wouldn't pay the extra money to have a refurbished. I'd trust somebody who said, hey, it's in good working order or whatever, and, yeah, go for it. Why not? Yeah, if that's the sound you want, that's the sound you should have. I've blown the news again. Oh, it would come to that. So we'll find out what's going on in the world at large right now on WGN Radio.
Love that bird. Oh, Bogie, my Ogie. Well, Bogie, oh, I love that girl.
Love that girl.
That girl. Hold me, baby, squeeze me, never let me go. I'm not taking chances because I love her, love her so. Oh, 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 gee. Yes, I love her. Yes, I need her. Oh, I love that girl.
Love that girl.
WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James. The Crows, yes, one of the bird groups, and actually the first group to be released on Rama. Yeah, one of George Goldner's labels. In fact, he had just started Rama when he found out about the Crows, who he discovered at Apollo. Wednesday night was amateur night, and Cliff Martinez usually was an agent who would bring the acts around, and he knew George because George was into all that Latin stuff, and so it was that he's, yeah, I'll sign him. And actually, the Crows, before they cut G, they were doing background vocals at for Goldner, and Viola Watkins was someone they were backing up. In fact, she became the co-writer of G, so it was put together in literally minutes during a Viola Watkins session. And that was going to be the B-side. Interestingly, I Love You So, a ballad, was the A-side. And fortunately, in New York, L.A., and Philadelphia, disc jockeys flipped it quickly. And I would say within under a month, it sold 100,000 copies. Yeah, which, you know, for an R&B record, pretty darn good. Not number one, though. Got to number two on the R&B charts, 14 on the pop charts. And sadly, they were a one-hit wonder. Not that they didn't try, but it didn't turn out too well for them. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, Cindy is in Norwich. So, Cindy, what's up tonight?
Well, I have something real funny to say that a televangelist said that my friend told me, and she said, what else does Taylor Swift have to do? But before I tell you what, I couldn't even dream something up like that.
Well, let me ask you first, before we say anything else, who's the televangelist? Which one is it?
I didn't know who it was.
Oh,
no. But anyhow, just some creepy, I don't know. That, you know, but anyhow, I'm wondering if you could play a song by the Drifters.
Which one?
I don't know. I mean, my boyfriend gave me like 6 CDs of the Drifters. Mm-hmm. And I don't know it was just the best song on all of them.
Well, what is it? What
Walk
is?
Walk Back to Me, or whatever that is. Walk Right Back to Me.
No, not the Drifters. I'm thinking, Come Back to Me. It could be Come Back to Me, but that's not the Drifters. You got 2 acts who did that. But
Come Back to Me. Yeah, Come Back to Me.
Yeah, but that is not going to be the Drifters.
I have to get my old Cardinals out again.
Yeah, the Cardinals did it, and the Wrens did it. But for whatever reason, I always liked the Cardinals. But anyway, come back. All right, I got to find this, and I will.
I think it has the word "walk" in it. Walk right back.
Walk Right Back's a great song, but that's not that's the Everly Brothers. That's not the Drifters.
Oh yeah, the Everly Brothers.
Okay, so Walk.
Yeah, that's right.
That's nothing like the Drifters. But yeah, Walk Right Back. I think Sonny Curtis wrote that.
I wasn't born in that era, but I listened to all that music, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow,
all right.
The other thing that really happened to me a couple times.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm just like possessed or so spiritual, or you know, there's some.
No,
kind
it's
of,
not that.
A radio waves that go through the air. Or something. I mean, it's just really. I was humming a. This happened to me a couple times in my car. I'm humming a song, like an oldie song. Turn on the oldie station. And the song is playing in the mm-hmm. same spot that I'm humming it.
Mm.
The same.
Well, there you are.
The same part. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, sure. And we'll just chalk that up to being synchronicity.
But anyhow, what the televangelist said. I mean, at first
yes.
I couldn't even tell my cousin. I'm like, he said that Taylor Swift is going to make a baby with this football player. Well, I can't remember his name, you know, but anyhow. And that it's going to be the Antichrist.
I
know why they said that. It has to do with politics, but I'm not going to, I mean, if
right.
somebody doesn't
so,
know what that, you know, I'm not going to say what it is.
I'm already.
It's something clear with politics.
Yeah. There are a number of people who are making these things that she's being channeled by Satan to have the Antichrist baby. Yes, no, there's several versions of that online, I'm sorry to say. And yes, it is political. And the thing that people do not particularly like about Taylor, those who care about this stuff, is that they don't like that she uses her success to plug a political candidate who they might not have agreements with. And so,
if I could say, you know, one of the things that is she got 100 million young people to register to vote.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. And she also got a whole bunch of people to watch the Super Bowl who otherwise never would have watched it before. So the NFL certainly owes her. But yes, I understand that the televangelist, and I haven't seen a name anyway, I've seen some people think it's Joel Osteen, and it's not. It's absolutely not. But others are saying it's a televangelist from Arkansas. A lot of people are saying this, and I can't tell you how many things online are like that, and why not? I used to watch all the televangelists back in the day. It was sort of a hobby of mine. I'd even draw hot clucks for them because I know what time they'd beg and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, literally the statements these people would make started with the one I really loved was Carl
Jim Baker?
Oh, long before him. Carl C. McIntyre in the 20th Century Reformation Hour with Amen Charlie. And he's the guy who said, he's the guy who literally said, send a dollar to kill a commie for Christ. I thought, this is my man. I'm going to listen to him. And of course, there'd be Amen Charlie no matter what. Amen. So yeah, and it birthed from that. And of course, you know, you had 700 Club and everything else. But Trinity was always interesting, Jan and Paul Crouch, because her hair literally matched the color of the carpet. It was this violet shade. And they would have other people, I don't know, I don't think they bought the time, but other televangelists fleshing out their TBN network. And one of them was Jeff Fenholt. And Jeff Fenholt used to be a hard rock musician, and before that in Columbus, he was with a couple of groups you've never heard of. But anyway, he got on television one day, and he had his wife there with him, and he looked in the camera and said, "You don't need Guns and Roses when you got God and Moses." I thought, this is my man. And so, so yes.
But then, I mean, one other thing I wanted to tell you, I remembered when you were talking about that special radio. My father, he was born in 1921, and he used to make his own radio.
Oh, of course.
And he was a ham operator.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You
and
know,
he had
very easy
he
to do.
He had postcards from all over the world.
Right. Yeah, yeah, QSL cards, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. It's interesting, every now and then AM propagates very interestingly, as you would know, and WGN, you know, all around the world, depending on Skywave, it can be heard virtually anywhere, but even my little Class 4 AM station with 1,000 watts, occasionally I'll get a handful of letters, and it'll always be right at the same time, because that's obviously when the Skywave is that way, from a place like Finland, you know, and here's what we heard, and can you validate? And, you know, I always, you know, send them a little QSL reply that, yes, you heard us. And it's a lot of fun. So 888-876-5593. We will get to Matthew in Lake Geneva and Eduardo in Tampa. And there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is the Everly Brothers. As Everly Brothers on Warner Brothers, a lot of people thought when they left Cadence and left Boudreau and Fleece Bryant that that'd be the end, but it absolutely wasn't. And they did very well in 1961 with Walk Right Back. I love the drummer on that. That's Buddy Harmon Jr., don't you know? Yeah, Floyd Kramer on piano, too. And Sonny Curtis wrote it, so a lot of record royalties in that. But yeah, I was thinking of Come Back My Love, when she first said Come Back. Come Back My Love, the Wrens and the Cardinals. And I know it's blasphemous, two bird groups, yes, but I'll pick the Cardinals, the remake. Yeah, I'm not sure what's wrong with me. So we got Matthew in Lake Geneva. What's up tonight, Matthew?
Sergio Mendez.
What about
that, that piece you played about 2 weeks ago? You said, now that's a very young Sergio Mendez.
Oh, I probably played Obalala. I'll bet you that's what I played, Obalala. Let me let you hear it. Yeah, that was on a little thing he did. It was about 19. The Swinger from Rio, I think it was on, but this was his.
Yeah, that was.
Very nice song. What about it?
Is that available? Can we
find
it?
I'm sure, like I say, it's called Obalala, but I'm pretty sure, I'm going to look it up, that's on The Swinger from Rio. I've got it on an album, and the albums are not in front of me in this studio, but let's see if I can I can do that. I can probably do this pretty easily, but I'm pretty sure it's The Swinger from Rio. Let's see. Obalala. There's some other good things on that, too. Come on. Let's see. Are you going to give me this? It's on Dance Moderno. I'm a fool. It's on Dance Moderno. I should have known that. It's on Dance Moderno, and I've got that. Obviously, I've got that album, too. And that came out in 1961. And that came out on Philips, because that was in Brazil. I don't think it was released in the States. So it was on Philips, like a lot of that stuff. But let me look now for you to see if I'll bet you Dance Moderno is on a CD now. Well, here's a reissue, a CD from 1998. Here's another CD from 2011. They changed the cover on that. Anyway, let me go to Amazon for you and see how cheaply you can pick this up right now. But Dance Moderno is the album. I should have known that. Dance Moderno, Moderno. Let's see what we can get right now. All right, so that's expensive. That's $20-something. I don't know about that. You see, I don't know how cheap you are. I'm very cheap, but but you can get it. And if you want it on a CD, there's one version that's $10.61 plus $3.99 shipping, and another version that has actually two albums on it, and that is $15.28. But yeah, $10.61, and there are 20 left. Buy soon. Let's see. Different cover entirely. Well, I don't care. As long as it's got the right cuts, you should be fine. So I'm looking at this one. Obalala, it's right there. So yeah, there's one for $10.61 right now on Amazon used for with $3.99 shipping. That's it.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right. See, they should pay me a commission, but they don't. Anyway.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
I wanted to put in the plug in one more time for Wanda Desah. I found something called A Little Box of Bossa Nova,
uh-huh.
A 3-CD set. Came out about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
It has the three albums of Gilberto's first three albums. It has Sergio Mendez of 65 live at Cafe El Matador. Before he went to Chicago and met Lanny Hall.
Right.
And that Wanda's final song, the crowd loves her so much. They're yelling, don't go, more. And that recording is phenomenal. But she doesn't sing anything in English.
By the way, I got to go. The news is coming on. I'll talk to you soon. Let me know if you get the album. All right, so we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Oh, won't you come back, my love? Don't go away. Come back, my love. Come back to stay. I love you so, and I want you to know. I need your love so badly. You said goodbye. I wanted to buy. All because of those silly lies. I love you so, well, I want you to know. I need
your love so badly.
Well, everybody makes baby mistakes in the game of romance. Now I'm asking you, darling, why don't you come back and give me a chance? Come back, my love, don't go away. I need your loving every day. I love you so well, I want you to know.
Need your love so badly.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1955, that's the Cardinals on Atlantic. And it came out about 4 or 5 months after the original. And the original was by the Wrens. The Cardinals were a Baltimore-based group, and the Wrens were New York-based. And like I say, not only did they have the original, but Bobby Mansfield, their lead singer, wrote it. And they had a nice version of it.
Come back, my love, don't run away. Come back, my love, come back to stay.
But it was the Cardinals that did it for me. Now, interestingly, on the flip side of Come Back, My Love, and that was on Rama, like I mentioned, by the Wrens, Begging for Love, I thought, man, I thought this should have been an ace.
Well, I'm begging for love.
Around and everything near me, all that I need is someone to cheer me. Who can it be, and what can I do if I must go begging for love day by day?
Was also written by the group, but not Bobby Mansfield. That was a baritone Frank Concepcion who did that. So much for the Wrens, who truly were terrific. But I don't know why. The Cardinals version was my fave. All right, so 888-876-5593. JT is in Aurora. What's up tonight, JT?
Hi, Ray. You played Walk Right Back by the Everly Brothers, and it brought up a story that I heard about the second verse for that song. It didn't reach the studio in time for them to record it, so they just did the first verse twice.
Oh, that's funny. Wouldn't surprise me. Don't know that. Like I say, Sonny Curtis wrote it in 61. It wouldn't be unusual, and that happened more often in Nashville than you could imagine. For instance, Mohair Sam by Charlie Rich, Dallas Frazier was not even finished with it when he went in and recorded it that morning. So it happens. The B-side originally was Walk Right Back. Now, the original A-side, which was not a Sonny Curtis record, it was written by John Loudermilk, was Ebony Eyes. And I will I will always laugh about Ebony Eyes. You know, we're talking about the survivors of the at the airport. Will they meet at the chapel? I'm like, that's subtle. So, yeah. Yeah, my beautiful Ebony Eyes.
I just wanted to see if you knew anything about the second verse ever existing.
Well, I'm going to write that down and see if I can't find out. Sadly, everybody I work with in Nashville is dead, but Sonny Curtis is still alive, though I don't have a phone number. But I'll look for that because that's a great story, and as I say, it wasn't that unusual in Nashville, so I'd buy it.
Yeah.
All right.
I believe it.
Thanks. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and Sonny Curtis actually had to get a 3-day pass from the service, because he was in the service at the time, to go down there and write for the Everly Brothers. But and he's look at this. Here we go. This is from Sonny Curtis. So Jerry Allison told me to sing the song for Don. Actually, I only had one verse written, and Don called Phil down, and they worked out a gorgeous harmony part. So they said, "Well, if you write another verse, we'll record it." Well, I went back to base, wrote a second verse, put it in the mail to them, and the next morning I got a letter from Jerry telling me that the Everlys had already recorded it before they got my letter. They simply recorded the first verse twice, and that's the version that was released, and that's the version that's the hit. So there you have it. It is, according to Sonny Curtis, a true story. All right. Well, good to know. So 888-876-5593. Chris is in Ohio. What's going on, Chris? All right.
Question about the Everlys.
What about it?
What do you know about the dispute between the Everlys and Wesley Rose?
Well, the publishing dispute, that was not as big an issue as what, because they left Cadence, because they left Archie Blyer, the Boudelot and Felice Bryant were kind of joined at the hip to Cadence, so they couldn't write any more for them. But I don't know if Wesley Rose was in that mix.
Okay. The story, which apparently is not true.
Well, it may be that Wesley
Rose was upset that they recorded "Temptation," the only song that to date that they recorded that Wesley didn't control, and that he was barred from Acuff Rose. They were barred from recording anything by Acuff Rose because of that.
Right. This is part of the same story, because Felice and Boudelot were Acuff Rose writers. So Wesley wouldn't allow them to continue to use Acuff Rose, and so that was the deal. And there was a fight and all that, but the real fallout, I don't think, was Acuff Rose as much as it was losing Boudelot and Felice Bryant. And everybody thought when that happened that that was going to be it, you know. And here they come, and they get on Warner Brothers, and the first thing out of the box they had written turned out to be their biggest record. So it's interesting that they really thought that, well, many people thought that, you know, losing access to the Acuff Rose catalog was going to mean that they would never, ever do anything else. And, there were lawsuits, too. I know that, you know, as far as that goes. But, ultimately, did it cost them their careers? I've heard a number of people who said yes, but if you look at the charts, I'm going to do that right now if I can. Well, I guess I can't. that's on another part of the house. But in any event, I will look at the charts here in a moment. I think that right after they got on to Warner Brothers, they had bigger hits than they had on Cadence.
Yeah, that was the way I saw it. But I heard this story, which you're saying evidently is it's not quite accurate, that Wesley Rose had a fit about them recording "Temptation" because he didn't have the he didn't control the rights to it.
Right, and I'm sure that was part of it. But I also think them leaving Archie Blyer at Cadence was which was right around the same time, you know. And so, but I mean, yeah. I remember so well when everybody thought, well, this is it, because, you know, the first thing they had out of the box is "Wake Up, Little Susie," and then, you know, "Bye Bye Love," the flip side, and "All I Have to Do Is Dream." I mean, basically it's the Boudelot and Felice Bryant catalog, and so some of those were great little records, and everybody thought, well, that's it, they're dead. And, of course, I'm pretty sure that Kathy's Clown in 1960 on Warner Brothers outsold everything before it.
That was a big hit.
Yeah, and that was their first thing out of the box after Cadence. They had some, you know, foreign stuff like on London and stuff like that, but in the States, that Warner Brothers Kathy's Clown was the first thing out of the box, and it was just immediately. And of course, you know, Cadence released some stuff they had on top of it, you know, everything they had in the vaults, but Kathy's Clown was just huge. I'll admit,
wasn't "Temptation" the flip of Kathy's Clown?
No, this would have been, I don't think so, but let me, I thought "Always It's You" is the flip of Kathy's Clown on Warner Brothers. "Always It's You." And who the hell wrote that? I'm trying to think. I think "Always It's You" was a Boudelot and Felice Bryant record, which is interesting. Now, let's see about Kathy's Clown. Yeah, they did write Kathy's Clown. So they had a Boudelot and Felice on the flip side, which is interesting, because I wouldn't have expected that at all. That was fascinating. But yeah, there were lawsuits, like I say, after that, and Rose was absolutely livid, but you know, I think they were fine. Obviously, they didn't have the level of hits they had after Kathy's Clown. I mean, Gone, Gone, Gone was all right, and there were some things that were really nice. But, you know, what can I say? I think that Rose was mad. I think that Archie Blyer was mad. You can't discount that. I think that Boudlow and Felice got stuck in the middle. I don't think that they would have wanted to leave. But you know, there it is. So, what can I tell you?
Okay, could I ask you another question on a completely different subject?
Absolutely.
Would you tell me about your time at WHLO?
Oh, no, WHLO carried my show for quite a while. Hello Radio, probably 7 or 8 years, but I wasn't there in the flesh. They were just carrying it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but I always thought that was a wonderful affiliate. I was very glad to have them.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you called. Thanks. And if I see anything else about that argument, or if I get anything, I might have the lawsuits. I'll let you know.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks.
Good deal.
Again.
Appreciate it. So, I, as I say, everybody thought, well, that's it for the Everly Brothers, but I didn't really see it that way. Then after Kathy's Clown, they did Crying in the Rain. And that was an interesting thing, because that was Howie Greenfield, who was, you know, Neil Sedaka's writing partner, and Carole King. So they both were, you know, under Donnie Kirshner in the Brill Building. But you didn't see too many Greenfield King records, but you did with Crying in the Rain. And that did pretty well for them, too. Like I say, I think the talk of their demise, and oh, man, people wrote them off, was a little premature and not that accurate. I think when you think about the Everly Brothers, I thought, oh, man, are we talking about their onstage breakup? Because, you know, sadly, historians will probably always look to that. You don't expect them to break up right on stage and have that fight, but they did. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get back to Eduardo here with Rural Hospitals and Stacey Algonquin, the Abundance Checks. We'll talk about the new moon coming up on WGN Radio.
How's your pagoda?
Hey, buddy, are you having fun?
Has anybody seen Kosher Pickle Harry?
No!
If you see him, tell him that Herbert is looking for him.
Who's Herbert?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. The premiere!
Yeah!
Farmer John.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is the premieres, and that was a request, and I should firstly credit Cleveland Dennis from Elgin for requesting that, and also when we played by the Crows doing G, Stephanie and Madison wanted that one. But the interesting thing about Farmer John is they make it seem like it's a live performance, but it wasn't. In fact, everybody said, oh, that's when they were at the Rhythm Room in Fullerton. No, it isn't. It was Stereo Masters, and that was in Hollywood. And, yeah, that was... Cardenas was his last name. I can't... did the spoken intro, you know, Kosher Picker Pickle Harry and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that was studio done. And there were some of the... What can I tell you about it? It was a remake. I should mention that too, by the way. The original and the guys who wrote it were Don and Dewey. They did Farmer John in 1959, and we could play that too. But it was Eddie Davis on the Faro label who gave us the premieres, Farmer John, making it sound like it was a live performance, and it wasn't. All right, so 888-876-5593. We have Eduardo in Tampa. What's going on tonight, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh. Yeah, I thought I'd comment on this rural hospitals. Some states like Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas are losing, they might later on this year lose some hospitals because they weren't paid from the insurance company. Also, they were subsidized when we had the pandemic. So, and then this will discourage anybody who want to go and work there. If they do phone.
Yeah, the crisis for rural health care is nothing new, unfortunately, and the pandemic certainly hasn't made it easier. And so I think in the last decade, probably over 100 have actually closed. And I think they say something like it's 30 or 40% that are in risk of closing now. And I just saw an article in U.S. News and World Report that said something like 195 hospitals have shut down since 2005. But I think it's at least 100 in the last decade alone. And there's a lot of reasons for that all the way around it. John says, shut up. Hang on a minute. We will pick this up right after the news. Don't go away anywhere. We will reconvene in moments here on WGN Radio.
WGN
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1959 on Specialty. That's the original Farmer John. That's Don and Dewey. Didn't exactly sound like the premieres, but there you have it. We're talking to Eduardo in Tampa about what is somewhat of a health crisis in America, and that is the closing of rural hospitals. Obviously, the simple answer is it's money, but the more complex answer is why in terms of that. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of hospitals that are burdened with non-paying clients, because you can't turn anybody away from that emergency room, you know. So you've got all sorts of issues there. But also, when you look at the rates that Medicare or Medicaid will reimburse, it's not very good. And so when you got a big when you got a big hospital, you can spread that across the patient beds for the people who are insured privately and all that kind of stuff. But when you've got a small rural hospital, and maybe it's a 45-bed hospital, you don't have anywhere to spread that loss.
Right.
So, a number of people are saying, well, you look at the 10 states that have the most closures, and They didn't expand Medicaid. Well, the reality and the real, you know, sad truth is that Medicaid really doesn't even compensate 100 cents on the dollar for what it costs hospitals. And Medicare is close to that. But, you know, then you start getting into like the big blues or you get a little bit more and on. But that's why the guy who walks in uninsured gets a bill that would choke a pony because they're, you know, they're passing the costs along. But when you have too many people who aren't paying or too many people who are straight Medicaid and all that, you don't have anybody to pass the cost along to.
Yeah. CBS Sunday Morning one time did a story where there were like these RBs that were going into like these different rural towns because they weren't able to get to a hospital. So they had to depend on these RBs for care.
Well, there's a number of things like that. And then you also see in rural America, you'll see a small town and it will look like it's almost thriving. You see a lot of hotels and fast food and all that. And you say, what's the industry? And then you find out it's their regional hospital in a rural setting. Okay. But that hospital is drawing people literally hundreds of miles. So, yeah.
Wow, that's something.
Places like Kingman, Arizona. Kingman's thriving, I'd say, largely because that rural hospital there is serving people for a lot of miles around it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there'll be somewhat of a solution in the future.
I don't
about
know.
That.
I don't know what the solution will be. Because like I say, this is, God knows it's past, my ability to answer, but I can tell you that it is not a simple problem and the complexities to it make it very difficult to say, okay, here's a solution. So,
yeah,
I
mean, one obviously would be, I don't know how fast they would, put up a new facility. Who knows how long that would take to put up a new facility up.
It's not a question of that. Who's going to pay for it?
Yeah.
Are we talking about nonprofit groups? Okay, but a nonprofit group may not be passing along profit to the investors, but they have to be able to pay all their operating costs. Hospitals
right.
Hospitals aren't cheap to build, so it's not a question of not having the building. They don't have a plan that makes it financially viable. And that's part of the problem. We're in a real paradigm shift. I mean, I'm sure that to an extent, a lot of the things like telemedicine that's around, you got a lot of that. But there are times when, man, you need one-on-one care.
You got to go inside,
That's right.
Physically do something on somebody.
That's right. And so I don't know what the answer is, but I think that, as far as the rural hospitals I know, some have closed. Others have been taken over by large hospital groups who also have facilities in major cities. And so they're able to spread costs around probably better that way. And then you just have some that are, in fact, operating independently for better or worse. And frankly, as far as quality of care, often for worse.
Yeah.
So.
All right, I'll let you get to. Oh, by the way, Saturday I'll be at, maybe I'll call in later in the week, but Saturday, I got the Billy Joe and Sting concert. I'll be going to the big stadium over here.
All right. Well, I can't wait for
Looking
the review.
Yeah. I'll let you get to Stacy because Steve and Johnny, they mentioned Stacy, but from Algonquin, but I'm sure everything's okay. But maybe she was just calling about what they were talking about.
Well, we'll find out. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
So 888-876-5593, 888-88-Raleigh. There were a couple things I found out during the break that I was going to pass along to you, and now I've completely forgotten what they are. So it'll come to me, I'm sure. All right, Stacy in Algonquin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Okay. What I was wondering is when do we write the next abundance check?
Well, firstly, keep in mind that the next full moon hasn't happened yet. So the next full moon is this Saturday morning. At 6:30 a.m., it is a snow moon. And the next new moon then would be March 10th, Sunday morning at 4 a.m. So that would mean Saturday night, March 9th, when you go to sleep, write it as you're going to sleep.
Saturday, March
10th. 9th. Right. Exactly. Saturday, March 9th. Because Sunday morning at 4 a.m., it'll be new.
Sunday, morning at noon.
At 4 a.m.
Sunday morning at 4 o'clock.
A.m. It'll be a new moon.
A.m.
Yeah. So Saturday night, whenever you're ready to go to bed, that's when you write it.
Okay, and it's March the 9th.
Yep.
Okay. Now, is it okay if I write on a regular check?
Yeah.
Or?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Sure. Just don't throw it out. You know, that's the trick of the law of abundance.
Don't.
Yeah, you can never throw them out, which makes
it. Oh, no, I keep them all in an envelope.
Yeah, well, wait till you outgrow the envelope and wait till you outgrow the boxes. No, if you do this long enough, literally, you almost need a room. So, yeah, that's the only downside of this.
So, well, that's okay.
Yeah, right. There's always.
So, how are you feeling?
Well, I'm here. I start a new drug, but I don't want to start it until Friday because I don't know how I'll react to it. So, I want to get through the week of shows first, and then Friday I'll try it. We'll see.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be fine. I'll live through it no matter what.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Whether I'll be taking two of them, I don't know. After the first one, we'll see how it goes. All right. Good deal.
No, so thank you, Raleigh. Oh, and if I don't talk to you, you know, you and John, you have a fabulous weekend.
Oh, yeah, but this is only Tuesday.
We'll
talk again.
And be careful.
All right. All right, you too. Thanks for calling.
All right.
All right.
Oh, sure. Bye-bye,
so,
Raleigh.
888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And we have, let's see here. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was looking up concerts, speaking of concerts. Eduardo mentioned that. And we're talking about one that I saw earlier. And, wow, she was at Birdland with Marcus Vallee in 2011, and I did not know this. Yeah, I'm beyond upset. All right, Paul and Iroquois, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Ali.
How are you?
It's always interesting to hear people say that you're like the resident genius.
No, it's so far from true, I couldn't begin to tell you.
Well, I'm quite rounded myself, and when I get compliments like that, I kind of think of women who are quite attractive and get commented all the time, and you just don't know what to say.
Thank you is about good enough.
I mean, I think they're expecting me to explain the theory of relativity or something. And
well, that wouldn't be all that difficult. But if you could solve the grand unified theory, I'd like a conversation, too.
A couple of questions I have. I'm a big Elvis Presley fan, mainly stuff that he did before he went in the service.
Okay.
And there's a label that puts out his work called the Follow That Dream label.
Yeah, FTD. It's Sony. Yeah. That's Sony. They've had it since 1999. They've released, oh my God, hundreds of things at this point.
Right. And yeah. I know they're quite expensive, and I'm just wondering if you or anyone else is. You can't like believe the reviews that are on like, Elvis sites because they think they're all wonderful, but I don't want to hear rip it up 25 times, but I'm interested in the evolution of the song and, how they stop the song and they talk about, bring the bass up a little more or someone in the, playing the background music made a goof. And it's really interesting to listen to that. Also, there's another label called Bear Family.
Oh, sure.
And I think they're quite expensive, too. I have not known anybody who have either labels, so I just mainly have to go by what I hear online.
Well, all of this stuff comes up used. As far as wondering what's on it and whether it's worth it, most of this stuff also shows up on YouTube. So if there was something you were after, you probably could hear it online. And as far as looking for it, there's a number of places. Amazon's a good starting place, but it's certainly not the only. And, you know, just like we're talking about CDs with our Sergio Mendez fan. And, you know, yeah, new, it'll set you back. But, hey, there's somebody selling it used for a couple bucks, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I will have to check that out.
Yeah.
You also talk about medical problems and your own experiences in emergency rooms. And I've experienced terrible emergency room visits, and I've complained to the director of emergency services, but that doesn't seem to have any effect.
No, absolutely. They're overworked, overstressed, over everything. But yeah, I've said to John that in the future, just let me die at home. You know, I gave up on emergency rooms quite a while ago, and I have the hangnail clause in my will. If I got a hangnail, let me die. You know, so no intervention. Thank you very much.
Right. Sounds like we both had experiences like that.
Yeah, and so I'm ready.
I will go to...
You know, more than ready.
I'll go to another town and have some other emergency room, even if I have to travel 20 miles.
Well, right. Of course, if you're going to do that, yeah, you want to find the best one no matter where it is. Absolutely. But like I say, I'll just sit it out.
I don't like to bring up, like, physical ailments. I know a lot of your callers do, but what the heck? You talk about it, and you have some knowledge about that. I have peripheral neuropathy in my feet.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, I know. Are you diabetic? Are you diabetic?
No, I'm not diabetic.
Yeah,
either.
No. Have autoimmune complications?
Excuse me?
Do you have autoimmune complications?
No.
Okay. So have they gotten to the heart of why they think this is happening?
No, my doctor just basically says there's nothing that really will take care of it. Maybe you should go to pain management, but
no.
I don't want to do biofeedback and all that kind of
nonsense. Couple of things. Firstly, you've been checked. You don't have diabetes. That's great. Do you also, you know that you don't have any peripheral artery disease, any pad disease? John says I have to shut up now. I don't know why, but hang on. Don't go away. And we'll figure this out right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We'll forego the bumper right now since we only got about 3 minutes left this hour. And we were talking with, we got another hour, by the way, Paul in Iroquois, peripheral neuropathy, and idiopathic, meaning they have no idea why you have this. Now, traditionally, peripheral neuropathy will go in stages. And so tell me about your symptoms.
Stages, like, it goes from bad to worse as I get older. I'm 73.
Okay.
I hate to think what it's going to be like when I reach 80.
Are you in constant pain? You are. Whoa.
Yes, all day long and all night. Oof. And the only thing that really masks it is Norco. But I have to pay for the sins of people who overdose on opioids.
Oh, I know. It's, you know, it's one of the saddest things, because I think it's inhumane that the people who need the pharmaceuticals can't get them because of some perceived ill among other people. It's just wrong, wrong, wrong. Have you had numbness as yet?
When I take the Norco, I have numbness.
Okay. All right.
Which is a good thing.
Well, yes and no.
Yeah, but it lasts about 3 hours. And
yeah.
So I used to go to the VA, and they would hand it out like candy. And I never misused it.
Right. Right. No, I know now.
The opioid crisis.
Right.
They won't give it out anymore.
And I assume you've tried all the things like Neurontin, gabapentin, and
gabapentin, Lyrica, and
amitriptyline.
Amitriptyline.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like a guinea pig sometimes.
Absolutely, you do. You're 100% right. And anytime it's idiopathic like that, when they don't know what's causing it, there's no way they're going to know how to cure it. All they can try to do is mask it. And when you're talking about the analgesics, you're masking it. But at this point in time, you're saying, I'd rather mask it. I don't want the pain.
Exactly.
And I don't blame you. It really comes down also to working with somebody who's good in terms of who understands all the contributing factors, including things like B12 or, you know, some of the vitamins that can be off. There's so many things that can be a contributor that if I were in your shoes, the first thing I'd be wanting to know is, you know, I don't like the word idiopathic, other than the fact that idiots is part of that. I want to know what is causing this. And obviously, we know it's a form of nerve damage, but why? Because if you can figure that out, you can find a way to treat it. If you can't figure that out, all you can do is mask it.
From what I read, basically, it's the myelin that coats the nerve,
right.
And
oh, yeah.
The myelin goes away.
Right, but why? You see, again, we know some of the reasons when, you know, if you've got certain autoimmune diseases, obviously, if you've got diabetes, that's a big one. Certain vitamin deficiencies, certain kidneys, certain liver disease, certain hormonal imbalances, certain infections, they all play. But what we're saying is you've been screened for all of this, and you're still sitting here with that pain.
Exactly. And I told my doctor, I said, if I was the woman who plays in Bewitched,
yeah.
I would put my hand on the doctor's shoulder and give her my neuropathy, and she wouldn't let me out of the clinic until I took it away.
Right, right, exactly. And then you'd finally get the drugs. Yeah, I wish I had an answer. And I don't, but I would say continue to look for alternatives, because what you really need to find out is what is causing this.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck. Keep me posted.
The only other thing I can do is, you know, buy it illegally, which is very expensive.
Right, right. You can do that. But ultimately, long term, see, that's not what you want to do anyway. If you want to hang on, we can talk more about this.
Okay.
All right. So, but right now we're going to do the news. Or we're probably doing the news already.
This time we're really brave.
And that is Troy Schoendel. That's a remake. Yeah, the original Thomas Wayne, the guy who did Tragedy, on Fernwood. Well, that was the original, and that was 1958. Chips Moman wrote that, and Troy Schoendel came across it. He recorded it for Goldcrest, and Goldcrest was this little label out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And it was later reissued to Liberty, and so they could get national distribution, obviously. And he wound up with a top 10 record. And even bigger in Norway, don't ask. All right, but I know that Robert and Stickney is going to ask. But we're talking to Paul in Iroquois County because, you know, no matter what's going wrong, when you're in a pain, let me tell you that nothing is going right. And so dealing with something like neuropathy, when basically they're dismissing, they're doing everything short of telling you it's in your head. And, you know, the witch hunt on narcotics is such that it becomes almost impossible. But that said, long term, opioids won't help you because they do too much damage to your body. You know, it's just like you want a great opioid, man, let me tell you about Dilaudid. But you don't want to take that long because next thing you know, you got brain lesions. I mean, the side effects are unbelievable. So when you're talking about a long range fix, opioids can't be in the mix long range because they'll be just too hard on the body. So it's a question of what to do. And if I were in your position, I'd be looking for everything alternative I could find to try and come up with why is this happening. You know, let's face it, you're not developing neuropathy because your body has a shortage of opioids. You know, there's a reason that you are developing this. And that's what, unfortunately, you know, allopathic medicine is just going to leave you asunder. They don't know. So, you know, I mean, I wouldn't do anything crazy or whatever, but I'd certainly be looking for, you know, what are alternatives?
Like looking for a like looking for a car that's idling and put my mouth around the exhaust pipe.
Yeah, right. Believe me, all kidding aside, people do not understand when you are in constant unrelenting pain, that doesn't sound like a bad option. And the problem is that we want to get you to a point where you're able to address the pain and what's causing it. And I think that's the frustrating part, and that's where allopathic medicine will leave you.
A lot of it is probably just aging.
Well, but it's not normal aging. Unless you have a genetic predisposition where everybody in your family really came down with the same thing, it's not normal aging.
Right, right.
You know, aging doesn't help. It doesn't help any of us, you know, let's face it. But it'll
probably
only bring this on.
With all of your thousands of listeners, I'm sure that somebody out there probably has the same problem.
Yeah, and if they've come up with something, sure. Because God knows, I'm no doctor. Nobody should ever take my advice, and I mean that sincerely. But but it might be a starting point to start researching on your own. And, yeah, it's anecdotal. If somebody listening has said, hey, I've beaten it, I want to hear that.
When people talk to me, a lot of times they will say things like, oh, you're a Renaissance man, or you're a prodigal son, or and I think of you as the prodigal daughter. When did you first start noticing that you were different than other kids? I picked mine around 9 or 10 years old when I would go into the adult section of the library and look in medical journals to see what medicines were composed of that they would give me for like a nail infection or something. And I thought that was just normal.
Yeah.
I thought, well, all people do that.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of childhood. You betcha. I don't know that I ever thought about it. You know, when I was around 40, I found out that I was a quote unquote private adoption. I never knew I was adopted until I said, oh, that answers a lot of questions. So that was interesting. But as far as the other things, I mean, I laugh about it now, but I remember in about the sixth grade, the school people came to my mother and said, we'd like to put Raleigh in some special classes and that, you know, her IQ and all this. And my mother later said, oh gosh, they must have you mixed up with some other child. I said, yeah, you're probably right. And that was pretty much the end of it. You know, I don't know. My whole thing early on was just, I loved listening to the radio. I just did. I'd sit there for,
I did too.
Yeah. AM radio at night. Yeah. Nothing else mattered.
I would, sit up with my mother at night, past my bedtime, and we'd listen to the Grand Ole Opry back in the mid-50s.
Sure.
And I got an appreciation for that type of country music. I care nothing for the country music of today.
Well, it isn't country, you know, by any definition.
And my mother taught me how to draw. You know, there used to be a cow's picture on the milk carton over the cow, and she would teach me how to draw. And
that's good.
I would write a lot of times, and I just thought, well, that's something all kids do, but that 9-year-old boy is still in me.
Of course it is. Never goes away.
And I enjoy it very much. My last question is...
I was going to say, your last what? It's just over. All right, what?
would you play sometimes... something by the writers of, like Elvis songs or other songs like Boudreaux Bryant or Doc Pomus.
Oh, yeah, and Mort Shulman, sure. Absolutely. Well, I love the Boudreaux Bryant stuff and all of the Doc Pomus stuff. So, sure, absolutely. I'll look for some. All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you too.
Let me know how it goes. All right, so there's an answer there, and that's the most frustrating part when it is so elusive. All right, now, before we do anything else, along the same lines, Nick, it says back surgery. Oh, my God. Nick, did you have some recently? Nick?
The back surgery, Raleigh?
Yeah.
The back surgery was 20 years ago.
Oh, God, you're probably still recovering.
And I just wanted to, and I'll be real quick because you got a lot of calls, and I'm watching the clock, so I'm going to go over the break.
Glad someone is.
I just wanted to you know, what happened was I went out. It was New Year's Eve 1993, and I shouldn't have gone out. It was raining, and of course, the temperature went from 50 to 20, and it was and it, everything turned to ice. And when I was leaving this person's house, I slipped, and I thought myself going. And I said, well, if I go forward, I'll break my head open. So I leaned back, and the brick steps went into my back, and I broke my back. Well, that started a whole cycle of, you know, I had to find out, you know, what to do. And eventually I did nothing. At first I did nothing because the pain went away, and I figured, well, everything was okay.
Yeah.
But then it came back, and I couldn't get up easily from a chair and all that. So I decided, well, let's check this out. So I wanted to see a doctor, and they told me, well, you're going to be in a wheelchair. You're not going to walk anymore. Nothing you can do. So I said, the heck with that, and I investigated more, went to another doctor. They did a fusion, sent me to the pain clinic, and I wanted to get off the pain meds.
Right.
So they said, hey, we've got this other thing we can do, which is a TENS device.
Uh-huh.
And put in your back, you know. And I just want to say this, and nothing about doctors or any, I'm just saying, buyer beware, because when they go in, and they told me, well, you know, this may not work, and you may wind up worse than what you were.
Right.
I wouldn't have done it. When they go up there and they put those wires in, they drill holes in your spinal column.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Once they do that, there's damage.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with me is my balance got worse, and I just, I took it out. I had it removed. And it's taken me 20 years to get back a lot of what I've lost in terms of, I'm getting stronger. I'm actually doing better now than I have done.
Good.
So I just, the reason why I'm saying all this is people just do the research. Don't just blindly say, well, the doctors know what they're talking about.
You're so
everybody's
right.
Different.
And, you know, you're so right, especially because when you're in a debilitated situation and you're either afraid or you're in great pain, you're looking for any answer. And so it's easy to say, well, here's the answer. But unfortunately, orthopedic surgery has about the least impressive success rate. Let's just say it that way.
75% of all back surgeries end in failure.
Right, and so, and that's, you
I
know,
didn't know that then.
Yes, but you do know it now, and unfortunately, that's not not a far-fetched number. I wish it was, but I would say absolutely your advice to caveat emptor, buyer beware. You betcha, and especially if you're looking for anything and you're ready to do anything, well, maybe not.
Right, and I'm just wearing my heart on my sleeve a little bit here, but I just want people to be aware of it because, you know, just do your research, and before you jump in there, of course, we're able, now, I didn't have a computer then, we didn't have the internet like we have it now.
Right.
So we can look it up on our own right now, and it's a lot easier. So I'm just telling people, just do your research.
I agree.
The other thing I wanted to talk about real quickly was the Odyssey thing, and I'm not going to get political here. It's crazy. I heard KDKA last night, and they have a student show on.
Yes, they do.
Overnight.
They're proud of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The college show on the overnights, yes.
Right, and it's pre-recorded.
Of course it is.
And so so there you go. That's where radio is going in some cases. Thank God for GN and...
Yes, I agree.
...some other places. But not a good thing, I think. I mean, I wish them nothing against those kids, but...
No, of course not. Of course not, but you normally don't think about something like a powerhouse like KDKA, you know, being the college intern station. No, I understand fully.
Not the same KDKA I remember.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, yes, call me soon. We'll talk about that. We'll avoid George Soros and get on to happier things.
Okay. I will talk to you again. I'm going to email you, okay?
Okay. I'll look for it.
And, all right. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Maybe we'll play the original this time coming up. I know because Robert in Stickney wants to talk about Troy. And David in Chicago will be talking about the WJLX saga. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard about this. Guy wakes up and his 200-foot tower is gone. Yeah, right, and it was Peter Rabbit who took it. All right, more coming up on WGN Radio.
This time we're really brave.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So that is the original. Chip Mullin wrote it, as I mentioned, and Thomas Wayne on Fernwood, the guy who did Tragedy, recorded it originally. And Thomas Wayne was the brother of Johnny Cash's guitarist, of Luther Perkins. And he tried a lot of things on Fernwood and on Mercury. And, of course, the only thing that really hit for him was on Fernwood and was Tragedy, and it was a big hit, but that was it. And he later was working as a sound engineer in Memphis and, sadly, died in a car accident. I think he was only like 31 years old. So, yeah, rest in peace, Thomas Wayne. But that's how it sounded before Troy Shondell, the kid from Fort Wayne, did it. All right, so with that in mind, let's talk about Stolen Tower. Dave in Chicago, thanks for calling.
Hey, Raleigh. Good evening to you. How are you?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm doing good. I know you talked about this on the air last week, and I saw a follow-up article. I sent it to you, and I know you got it. But what my question to you is, did this person think that nobody was going to, like, dig a little deeper into this and figure out how a 200-foot tower just disappeared in the middle of the night?
I don't think he was expecting the wire services to pick it up, period. And again, what I think was going on here is this guy probably, God knows for how long that AM has been off the air, but he thought, oh my God, there could be investigations or inspections. And he thought, I'm going to try a Hail Mary. I'm going to try to apply for an STA that I can get granted without a primary station because my tower was stolen. That's my guess. Now, of course, he denies it to Kingdom Come, and that's all right. But the problem with this is that if you are going to have a tower at a remote site, and you can do that, you can have your transmitter remote site, that's fine, but you have to be able to operate. You have to be notified when there are problems where you're broadcasting out of bounds, whether it's too little power, you know, too much power, whatever, you know.
Sure.
And so what he's saying, the fact that he did not know this, he admits he didn't have any remote monitoring. Well, that's a fairly serious violation right there. And so, okay, you say he didn't have any remote monitoring. Well, again, theoretically, he would have a number of ways to know that he was not on the air. I mean, the idea that he never checked or that this happened recently, it just defies imagination. You know, nobody came in and cut a 200-foot tower. You can do it. You know, just cut a guy wire. It'll fall as far as that goes.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, it may take somebody out in the process. But here's the thing. If you're going to steal a tower, the hell with the tower. Steal the ground system, you know, assuming there is one, you know, so there are so many things. And the idea that without a trace, it just defies imagination. But, you know, on a real sore spot with me, of course, they're back on the air courtesy of iHeart, which said, hey, we'll put you on an HD3. But when I look at where that H, and you know, I never thought the translator should be able to use an HD 2 or 3. I'm against that wholeheartedly. But they are. But regardless, you have to be within the radius that's allowable for you to translate that, I think. And so, you know,
it's a Birmingham signal. So does that even
theoretically? But see, the problem is, I looked at where the tower is. That tower is not. The tower is south of Birmingham, and Jasper is north of Birmingham. I can't imagine it's putting a 60 dB signal there. So I'd have to look at what is because obviously the FCC blessed it. They're not doing it without permission. The FCC said, "Yeah, go ahead."
Yeah.
So I assume. I assume it's. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw there was a video that this young guy went out and filmed, and there literally was no trace of where the tower would have fallen.
Right,
I mean, he went through a pretty interesting discourse. And then I read a little further, and then there was a message board that they were using a Google Street View, and the tower supposedly disappeared sometime in early February of this month. But the pictures have it disappearing sometime between October of 22 and March of 23.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised it's that recent, but yeah, I was aware that there's no doubt that this is not accurate. And I hope for the sake of the industry, I hope this will ultimately highlight the misuse of translators coast to coast. There's a lot of people originating programming. They should not be doing that. It is against everything possible. But I also think this HD 2 and 3 thing, theoretically, HD 2, you're doing things to prop up that concept. Well, if you're putting it on FM, you're not exactly propping up the concept. So
it just seems like he may, like you said, may have attracted more publicity
this guy's in a world of hurt, believe me. He was not expecting this, and ultimately I hope it will be fully investigated. It's going to be interesting to watch. We have not heard the end of it.
Yeah, I can imagine. And would you think, Raleigh, this would, we're talking like a license revocation at some point? I mean,
what could do that. The fact that he, on his application for the STA, that he said the tower had been stolen, that is lack of candor. That's a lie. That could cause a license revocation. But he doesn't own the station. Now, see, that's the other thing.
Right.
So we'll see.
Right.
A lot to talk about this. Keep me posted, and thanks for calling.
I will. I'll keep you on top of it.
All right,
thank you.
Good deal.
Have a good night.
You too.
We'll
find out about the world at large and come back to Robert and Jim in Richmond, Wisconsin, and James on the South Side, and maybe you. Although remember, if not tonight, tomorrow night, right here on WGN Radio.
I said a prayer and played the jukebox. I played what used to be our song. 'Cause it's the only thing I had since our love affair went wrong. I saw you dancing with another. Heart was breaking with each beat. 'Cause no one knew that I still loved you, and that I willed you here with me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, that's Little Anthony and the Imperials. And, yes, A Prayer in a Jukebox, that is written by Troy Schondell. If you look at it, it'll say it's not written by him. They'll say it's written by Gary Shelton. Well, that is who Troy Schondell was, and that was his given name. In any event, that came out on a Roulette album, and this was Roulette after, unfortunately, George Goldner had lost all the rights to his labels because Morris Levy had to, buy him out of trouble once more. And so that was the deal. But yeah, that was absolutely Troy Schondell. Now we're going to find out why it is that Robert and Stickney has Troy Schondell on his mind. So what's the deal, Robert? Welcome to WGN.
Oh, thanks, Raleigh. Yeah, you know, this was a tune that the song this time, it just popped into my head after all these years. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering what happened to the guy. Sounded like he had a pretty good, you know, promising career, vocal career, you know, from that.
Yeah, he, like I say, he was young. He wrote a prayer in a jukebox when he was like 14 years old. And he was, you know, singing at all the record hops when he was in high school. And he went to Chicago like in 57 when he was a teen and did some sessions for Mercury that came out on Smash under Gary Shelton, under that name. And I think he recorded like over a dozen songs for them, but only a couple of singles were released, and it never did anything. So, you know, he was appearing at a lot of clubs in the Midwest, in Chicago, the Brass Rail, but others as well. And then he wound up doing a lot of performances. He was on Shower of Stars, which was one of those you know things with Frankie Ford and Chuck Berry and Rod Bernard. Kind of I won't say second string, but sort of second string. You know, the Skyliners, the Impalas, you know, things like that. And you know, he got a session at Columbia. You know, and in fact, Burt Keys, I played "Doo Doo Doo Ba Ah" as my opening. Burt Keys was on one of his singles there. But again, nothing hit, and he was back home in 61, and his mother got him to audition for some extra part being filmed at there was an ad in the local paper that they were looking for extras, and they wanted to audition a man familiar with music. So he went out, and as you can guess, he wins the audition, and he decides he needs a fresh start. So he decided he was Troy Schondell. The Troy came from, he liked the actor Troy Donahue. I don't know where Schondell came from, but in any event, Chips Moman, who at the time was not well known himself, he had written it, and like I say, Thomas Wayne had recorded it as well. But the thing was recorded in Chicago, and it was one of those things. It was April 1st, but they had a snowstorm, and so I think only three musicians made it to the session. And boy, didn't it sound it! And so they tried to get a lot of different sounds to get it distinctive. And of course, it was distinctive. Actually, every label in Chicago turned it down. And so Troy was trying to start his own label, and then ultimately Goldcrest, and they gave it to Liberty for distribution, and it was a hit. Snuff Garrett, my all-time favorite pop producer, took over his recordings after that and could absolutely not get him a hit. Recorded a lot of stuff, but nothing. And in fact, what's interesting is Tommy James and the Schondells, they chose the name Schondells because of Troy Schondell. And
I wondered about that. Yeah,
that's absolutely right. He moved to Nashville, I guess. In Troy moved there in or Gary, whatever you want to say, in 64. And I remember he for a while in the 70s, he was doing weird things like vanity labels. You know, if you wanted to make a record, you know, you could go to their studio. You know, that kind, and some of them were just, you know, you can imagine what they were.
Yeah.
But he continued to work. I know that he had some things released, like one thing on Rick, you know, which was interesting because that was a, you know, Detroit label. And then he had some stuff that was, he wrote a song that Bob Lumen had a hit for, stuff like that, you know, minor stuff. And it was always that kind of thing. And then he became a songwriter for the dreaded A. Cuff Rose. Doesn't get bigger than that, but nonetheless, in this case, it didn't really. I think that you know, he and Don Gant worked together. Of course, at the time, no one knew who Don Gant was. Later, he'd produced Jimmy Buffett and all that. So they did a number of things. But he was mostly doing, like I say, that I knew of, these sort of like, you know, vanity labels and things of that nature. He recorded stuff and it never did anything. But when the real revival came, you know, of oldies, he got to do some tours and all that kind of stuff. And he died. I think he died in like 2016. So, and sadly,
it's been a lot of years.
Well, it's not that many years ago, but sadly, complications of Alzheimer's. So it wasn't easy. So that's the
You mentioned the song Tragedy. Didn't the Fleetwoods cover that?
Yes, too? They did. They absolutely did. But Thomas Wayne, of course, had the original. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay, Riley, you know what? I hope that this new medication works out well.
Oh, well,
for
thanks.
You
yeah, me again. Too. I hope I survive too. It. No, I'll survive it. But yeah, I hope it actually does something. We'll see. I'll let you know. Thanks.
Sure.
Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, bye-bye now.
All right. So, yeah, right. You read the side effects and you think, well, this could be the end. I doubt it. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Jim in Richmond, Wisconsin coming up, and then James on the South Side. And, yes, there is a line available for you on WGN Radio.
On my word.
James, those are the Platters, On My Word of Honor. And it was Robert and Stickney who had requested that, actually. 1956 on Mercury. It was the flip of a flop. One in a Million was the A side. Interestingly, One in a Million was written by Buck Ram and Tony Williams, the lead singer. On My Word of Honor is co-written by Buck Ram under a pseudonym. And he wrote that with Catherine Harrison. All right, so there it is. And happy to play it. I don't think it got a lot of airplay as far as that goes. I love the Platters. I love them on Federal, and I love them on MusiCorps. As far as all the pop standard stuff, granted, I understand it was their biggest hits, but not down for that. Jim in Richmond, welcome to WGN Radio. Jim, have we lost you? Oh, Jim gave up. I've been abandoned again. I knew it would happen. All right, I'll get over it. Jim, call back sometime, and sorry I made you wait. You want to talk about early radio, and I'd love to do that. How early are we talking? Crystal sets? All right, Diane in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi, Raleigh. I wanted to say, but I was going to ask about the sea crane thing, but I wanted to just say about that neuropathy.
Yes.
I was. I looked in some of them, like I have some books like Adele Davis and things like that, and
sure.
I looked in the index, and it seems these books all seem to just have neuritis and neuralgia.
Right.
And the word neuropathy, is that a new amalgam or some kind of thing in diagnosis or something in that category? Or is it neuralgia or neuritis?
It's neither of those. And
no.
In terms of when it was first coined, it was around in the 20s. But neuralgia goes back to the 1700s, but there was an article in 1924 that was a clinical lecture on lead neuropathy. And so it has been used. Now, some people will say that the description that the guy in the 1700s, I think it was John Fothergill or someone like that, but anyway, the guy in the 1700s did a description that a lot of people said, yeah, that's neuropathy. So, but that wasn't the word. The word, you know, I mean, obviously it combines a couple of Greek words, neuro, you understand what that is, nerves, and pathy, what, you know, pathos, meaning affliction or a condition. So neuropathy, it makes a lot of sense that it would be there. But I don't know when they first diagnosed it, but it certainly was around.
Well, that's funny that those in the indexes of those books where, you know, like Nutrition Against Disease, you know, these kind of paperbacks. I have a few of those books on things like that, like Adele Davis. But in the index, you'd think they'd have it listed in at least one of them.
Well, I think that if you go back to those days, firstly, every condition isn't mentioned, I will say that. But the other thing is most people thought of it as secondary to something. And so, like I said, there were a lot of people thought it was just secondary to diabetes. It's not. And on and on. So if that were the case, if it was a secondary situation, they might not have covered it.
Oh.
So, you know, it's been around, but for most people, they've never heard about it until they or somebody they know has been diagnosed with it.
So, oh,
okay. So, yeah. Interesting stuff, though. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask about to skip a few beats now and
yes,
another
by
subject
all means.
About the that Sea Crane Radio.
Yes.
Well, when I called you a while back, and mentioned you said the catalog, so I called that number the next day, and they I said about Raleigh said
yeah.
to call, and then I asked for the you know for that catalog, and the lady was very nice and all that. She took the information, but she seemed. She wanted my email, but I don't have a computer.
Right. You don't have, right, exactly. I don't
so
blame
she,
you.
So but I gave her my address very carefully, all of that, and she took it down, I guess. And then it's been a long time. I haven't received it. So I was curious on that email thing. I asked why she needed the email because she seemed a little persistent on that. And she said to send, you know, information.
Right, but you don't have to give it.
And,
you know, they,
on other products,
right.
But I really want to zero in on like one product or, you know,
right.
And
exactly.
I get, you know, junk mail anyway, you know, spam
right.
and all that.
Right.
So I don't.
No, I don't blame you. They mm-hmm. probably just told her, get an email if you can, you know, but I don't think that has anything to do with why you didn't get the catalog, but I do think that the stuff falls through the cracks. So if you do me a favor, call and ask for one again. And if you don't get it this time, I'll get you one.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll call then again.
All right. Yeah, let me know.
But it's odd because it's been
a
while.
Yeah, I know. But sometimes, you know.
But anyway, something happened. Maybe
right,
anything.
Exactly. So I'd call back and say, hey, you didn't send me the catalog. Send me the catalog. And
yeah.
If they say anything about an email address, say, I don't have an email address. That's why I'm asking for the catalog.
Well, I have email, but
you don't have to tell them that.
It's public computer.
Yeah. Well, you
it's
don't.
It's anonymous.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, right. But you don't have to tell them that. You don't have an email. All right. Let me know if you get it.
Okay,
thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I hope so. 888-876-5593. Keep that in mind because tomorrow night we have 3 big hours, and I'm hoping to hear from you. I just hate talking to myself. But James on the South Side and his 9 million stories. And James, I have to tell you, my absolute favorite was the farmer who left his cows, came back home, and found 5 of them on his couch.
That made me chuckle. I said, hey, the cows came home.
Yeah, it came home. That's right. Came home to Rooster Betcha. And it was interesting because apparently there are other people who have lost cows and they've since been discovered indoors. But apparently it was cold. And so these 5 cows, they not only got in the house, but they shut the door behind them and they turned on the light.
So, okay, let's just say that I would say that, okay, we always try to say that they're dumb or like that people try to tip them over and say, they're just dumbs and that sort of thing. No,
yeah,
I don't think so.
Exactly right. Apparently, one brown cow was taking a nap on the leather sofa. The others were resting their heads on it. One was on the kitchen counter, and that must have been nice to see. Now, you know, when I first saw the picture of the cow on the couch, I thought, oh, isn't that cute? And then they showed the mud and debris in the house. I mean, these cows ransacked this place. You know, obviously not intentionally, but the bottom line is that I don't know who's going to do the cleanup, but it's going to take a while.
Yeah, but guess what? I think he kind of got a chuckle out of it. At least he knew that, hey, okay, he could basically say, hey, my hood is the smartest of the group.
Well, yeah, but I mean, my God, their smart herd actually destroyed some of his furniture. It was cold, and they were not going to stand for it. Now, the other animal that came up was the squirrel. And this just was so wonderful. So a woman had been, as you know, feeding a cookie to feeding food, you know, just squirrel food, things that squirrels would like, for the longest time. And the squirrel repaid her by leaving a cookie for her. And we know this because the doorbell-type cam thing recorded the whole thing. The squirrel actually brought the cookie and left it for her. And I thought that was a wonderful story.
Yeah. There was also one where a bear actually appeared in a selfie.
Yes, yes, yes. So, yeah. And, of course, the bears swimming. I always love the pictures of the bears swimming. And but the squirrel leaving a cookie, that's pretty amazing to think, because this was an intentional act by this squirrel.
Yeah. Okay, so. we always tried to say that, oh, okay, but actually animals are, okay, sometimes, okay, they do some things that are quite amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I fault us for not knowing how to communicate with them. I assume they're ahead of us in this game.
Yeah, and basically, we were basically supposed to be a good shepherd to the animal, basically, mindful of who they are, and basically. Not be like such a ogre, as you might say.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the history of us just simply says, no, we haven't exactly been too good on that.
No, well, yeah, I mean, we're a prison planet. I mean, I don't know how we wind up here, but yes, it is frightening. So, yeah, a ton of stories, and of course, running out of time. So, did you have a favorite?
Oh, there was one about where they. Because there was a couple of ones that were similar.
Well, we'll leave that there. You can be thinking about that. We're about out of time, but I want to tell you the one that really weirded me out was the family skiing trip. That they go to this Airbnb and they find a picture hanging that basically is a picture of their child. Now, not currently, but like from 100 years ago. Truly frightening.
I figured you might like that one, so I didn't go for that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was another, but unfortunately, there's the example of mankind being unkind to both human and non-human.
Exactly, and you've ended the night. Thank you for all the stories. We will talk to you soon.
Okay,
all
you
right.
Take care.
You
Hope
too.
Hope the medicine helps you.
Me too. I'll let you know. Thanks. All right, so we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It made it a very enjoyable night. Could you do it again, please? Yeah, I'm not being greedy or anything, but really, I hope you'll call. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.